Hi, everybody. A short question, but such an important one for us today. Hi, Claire. I'm just reflecting on connection being a biological imperative to ensure survival as a newborn. Could this tie in with why, as we mature, we replace the secure attachment needed from our primary caregivers by trying to secure the experience of being? Yes, definitely. And it gets us into such immense suffering when we don't see that that's what's going on, because there's two things really, I think, really important for humans to realize. First of all, community, friendships, partnerships, relationships are so vital for human beings. Our entire evolution, we've depended on other people for survival. The baby, 100% dependent on the human baby, 100% dependent on human caregivers for its survival. And study after study shows the overriding importance to longevity and health and sanity of strong personal relationships. So it's a vital area of health and sanity and flourishing for human beings. Then the second thing is that human relationships are also the source of greatest suffering, of greatest pain, of greatest confusion, of greatest conflict. And this is because as we're being brought up, as we're growing up, maturing from baby to toddler to young child, adolescent, teenager, that survival drive, which initially is all about the body, isn't it? About getting food, getting care, getting attention, having everything that's required to stay alive. That survival drive starts to relate to what we think we are. And this is the cognitive revolution, really, that the human mind is capable of representing an existence and the existence of other beings, the existence of a future, the existence of a past, as mental phenomena. And so survival, everything that is looked to be necessary, everything that is believed about this self is contained as a psychological phenomenon and like an intellectual holding device. And that now becomes what has to survive. And it looks like it's different from the body now. It looks like it is a separate entity that is making decisions, making choices, that should be in control of thoughts and experience and emotion. So that's the experience of being as an identified separate entity. And the listener saying, does that drive for connection now transfer into that experience of being as a separate individual self? And yes, of course it does. And the tragedy, opportunity for freedom is that the attempt to secure that individual self as a separate entity, which really is the attempt to find peace, the attempt to find happiness, to find freedom, to find a sense of rightness and worth. The human mind is trying to find all of that, find home, essentially, find enlightenment through securing that separate entity. And the irony, of course, is that that separate entity doesn't even exist. It's a psychologically created, believed thing. And trying, it's in trying to secure that, that the happiness we are already, the bliss we are already, the wholeness that we are already, the intelligence, the aliveness, the presence that we already are, that is all, the only thing that is actually true, is completely obscured. And so, and this comes to real forefront in relationships when it looks like to be happy, I have to secure this entity, this self, I believe myself to be, and I look, it looks like I have to try and do it by how other people react to me. Do I get the person that I want in my life? Do I have friends who love me? Do people treat me with respect, as though I'm valid and valuable and worthy? And all I'm trying to do is secure this separate idea of me. And the more I'm trying to secure that, the more separation I have to create. So the more it looks different, that they're like that, I'm like this, I'm the victim, they're the villain, I'm the villain, they're the victim. You know, it's all about creating more separation in order to find connection. It's a complete impossibility. So the more desperate we are, the more needy we are, the more we're in seeking and resistance, the more we're trying to secure that separate version of me, and the more everything is being pushed away, the more confused, the more insanity there is. So it's why the starting point for everything has to be, what am I? Really, what am I? What is reality? What is the mind? Where does behavior come from? That has to be the starting point always. Sanity, what's really going on? Because from that point of view, we see these drives and urges that have come from conditioned belief of lack and, you know, the bullies at school, the teachers who embedded these beliefs of incapacity or not rightness, or the parents or the siblings, this confusion all around the growing child, embedded as a conditioned belief of what they are. And then from that space, they go out and try to form the relationships that they think are going to finally make them feel okay, like they belong, like they're all right. And it's like building mansions on an earthquake, isn't it? It's nothing, there's no stability in it. There's no security, there's no permanence, nothing. So instead, we dismantle it all. We see where those drives have come from, that sense of incompleteness and lack. We understand it. It becomes integrated, and there's no longer this inner war going on inside. It's just deep, deep, deep understanding of what's true, of what we really are. And then from that space, go out in the world. And the world will continually reveal where that conditioning is still running. And great, that's the reason for going out in the world. Allow that to be revealed continuously, every conversation, every interaction. And that's the sane way of moving out, of sane way of living. And from that space now, the deepest connections are formed because nothing depends on them. They're no longer the vehicle for our survival as an illusion. They're just the joy of experiencing that other. Yeah, thank you. Great question. Lots of love. Bye.